Blog Talk Radio. For joining me about tattoos and piercings. What's up with that? We're seeing more and more people with tattoos and piercings of all ages. And tonight I've invited some professionals from the Central Florida area to share this craft, this art that they practice. Part of my work is distributing a health magazine called Natural Awakenings. And I've encountered several locations that practice the art of tattooing and piercing. So if you're like me, you might be a little judgmental when you see persons with tattoos covering their body. And yet it's something about the art that's admirable. I begin to see these tattoos as very artistic and very special. And so I've been going on a kind of a soul search to get rid of the judgment and begin to see this in a different way. And so I've done a little research with some audios, and tonight I want to, if my computer behaves, and let's cut out some of the background noise, if my computer and my phone cooperate, we're going to hear a little bit about the history of tattoos. So I'm going to attempt to play a 3-minute history. Got a little delay. Here it comes. 3 minutes history on tattoos.
Oh, hey guys. I was just getting a new tattoo. Have you ever wondered when tattoo became a thing? In 1991, two German hikers stumbled upon a man whose body had been preserved for 5,000 years by being frozen in a glacier. Historians call this guy Otzi the Iceman. When his body was studied, they found that he had over 57 tattoos. Otzi is the most ancient of humans that has been discovered with tattoos. There are also mummies from the ancient world of Egypt and Nubia that have been found to have tattoos of dots, lines, and other markings. While the purpose and the meanings of these tattoos are not very well known, it makes it clear that we definitely have some commonalities with our ancient ancestors. Tattooing has also been considered a taboo in ancient history. The taboo of tattooing goes as far back as the roots of Judaism and Christianity. The first Christian emperor of Rome, Constantine, officially banned the practice of facial tattooing in 316 due to his Christian beliefs. Many people today are also familiar with the full body tattoos of the infamous Japanese gangsters, the Yakuza. Japan, like many other cultures, has a deep history of tattoos. However, it became unpopular there from the 700s to the 1700s when Japanese officials decided to use the art as a way to punish criminals for their crimes. Similarly to the Yakuza, Russian gangsters are covered in tattoos. One of the earliest accounts of tattoos in Russia was in the 900s when an official from the Arabian Peninsula was traveling through the region and ran into a group of European men who were tattooed from fingernails to neck with dark lines and other figures on their bodies. Tattooing didn't become popularized in the West until the Polynesian Islands were discovered by Captain James Cook. The Polynesian people have a tradition of detailed facial tattoos that are often related to their status in their tribes and their tribal history. About 100 years later, the first tattooing parlor of the United States was opened up in New York City by a man named Martin Edelbrock. Edelbrock mostly served as soldiers who fought the Civil War and didn't discriminate between sides. He tattooed both Northern and Southerners that were fighting in the war. In 1961, tattoos were officially banned in New York City, and the city of New York declared it to be unlawful for any person to tattoo a human being. It remained illegal to tattoo anyone there until 1997. Since then, tattoos have become a part of mainstream American culture, which at one time, a sign of defiance, now has become an acceptable form of expression. Thanks for watching the video, and make sure to subscribe to my YouTube channel.
Okay, I hope you were able to hear that. If not, give me a text at 407-701-5494, and I'll try and clarify that. Because we want to get to the root of this tattooing and piercing. So I also have a audio coming up on the history of piercings, because that's also very interesting. So I've invited three guests tonight to come on and share their art. And I know this is Mother's Day, or it has been Mother's Day. Actually, Mother's Day has passed, but many are involved in honoring their mothers, which is wonderful. I had a beautiful date with my oldest son and my grandson today. We met at the mall, and my grandson played at the play area, and it was just a beautiful time for son and mother to come together and enjoy each other's company. So I'm really thankful today to have had the opportunity to spend time with my son, who's a very busy father and has raising a family, a boy and a girl. And so I'm really grateful today, grateful to be here with you to discuss tattooing and piercings, because there's also a lot of Christian judgment going on. And I'm going to try and find the The audio that, audio by Joyce Myers. Joyce Myers is a female pastor, Christian pastor, and I was just surprised at her attitude about tattoos. She's actually thinking of putting a tattoo on her back because of the religious teachings and the religious opinions about this topic. And it really turns out that it really has been a very religious, controlling type atmosphere that has caused many of us to judge this artwork. And so tonight, I'm hoping we're going to come out of the criticism, the judgment, and just begin to see what this art represents. And as you'll see, as you heard, if you heard the first audio, this is about historical cultural heritage. The cultural heritage is tattooing and actually piercings. And somehow it was lost and criticized, and now it's returning. I'm sure many of you have observed how this art form is returning. And what surprises me is that how many older individuals are actually having their bodies tattooed. Why is this? What is going on? That's the question. The title today is Tattoos and Piercings, What's Up? Because I, for one, have never seen as many tattoos today as we have on this in our society in general, and just everywhere you go, people are donning their tattoos. So we're trying tonight to get to the bottom of it, and so there's a healing needed today. There's a healing needed all over the planet in different ways, but I have found that the healing is certainly needed about tattoos and piercings. I mean, it really surprises me to see piercings in the ears where the whole lobe is filled in with a hole. There's a hole in it. So I'm hoping our guests will come on tonight and explain some of the whys, why so many young people are piercing their bodies. What does it mean? From what I'm finding out, it actually represents some rebellion in some way, but it also represents an energy, a spiritual energy of a return to cultural testimony, to cultural traditions and heritages. So I'm going to play a little audio with Joyce Myers' thoughts on tattoos. Joyce Myers, again, is a very popular pastor of the Christian church. And she expresses, Joyce Myers expresses so well the attitude of religion about this subject. And again, I hope this audio is clear enough because it's really important that we hear this. Joyce Myers talking about the religious attitude on tattoos and how it's changing. It really is changing, and I'm so grateful for that.
Holiness is not legalism.
So listen to Joyce Myers talk about tattoos.
Whatever people used to think holiness was, it just became a mess and a nightmare and really turned a lot of people off. Because holiness became not smoking, not drinking, not cussing, not dancing, not playing cards, not going to parties, not wearing pretty clothes, not wearing any makeup, no jewelry, not having a nice hairstyle. You had to cut or not cut your hair, depending on which brand of religion you followed. And God forbid that you have a tattoo, or if you're a man, put an earring in your ear. I mean, that will just put the religious people over the edge. Been there, done that. Well, look at those tattoos. Well, you see that man wearing that earring? Wow. Well, you know, I really don't have time to do this justice, but in Isaiah 44, 5, it says, one will say, I am the Lord's, and another one will call himself by the name of Jacob, and another will write or even brand or tattoo upon his hand, I belong to the Lord. Well, now, there are some scriptures in there somewhere that tell you not to do that. Yeah, and this is where it's at. Leviticus 20:28, misquoted, which says, you shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print or tattoo any marks on you for the dead. You know, we just pick stuff out of here and leave out what we want to. The Bible says in Isaiah 49 that God has a picture of you tattooed on the palm of his hand. I'm right on the verge of going and getting a tattoo. Push all the religious people just right off the cliff and get it over with. It took Dave a little while to get used to that idea. He was like, oh, no, isn't that wrong? He said, doesn't it say in the Bible not to do that? Why would I do that? Just to make religious demons mad. No other reason. And everything about legalism is something you can't do. Let me tell you something. It is not boring to serve Christ. It is so much fun, and there is so much you can do. And not only that, you can enjoy all of it. Hey, can I tell you something? We're having more fun in here tonight than any one of us ever had getting drunk and having a hangover.
Now, that was Joyce Meyer, the very popular Christian minister. I love that about her, that she is keeping up with the times. Some people are probably shocked. Joyce Meyer? I was pretty surprised myself, but she's always been a very advanced teacher. She's always been a motivator, of course. But more than that, she is advancing and keeping up with the spirit of the times. So if you missed the first part of the show, I played a 3-minute history of the cultural heritage of tattoos. Tattoos are 50, according to some reports, tattoos go back 5,300 years or more. And this, some of the proof that Starp revealed this history was in 1991. When a scientist or explorers discovered a frozen body on the top of the mountain on the border of Italy and Austria. Now, they discovered this frozen body, and what they examined and found was that it had 57 tattoos on it, and they dated this body back to 5,300 years, if you can believe that. So this art that many religious people want to criticize and judge because the scriptures were misinterpreted to say that you should not put any cuttings on your body for the dead, as she read, for the dead. That's what the scripture, and so that scripture was taken way out of context, and religious people especially, have looked upon tattoos as taboo and something that should not be done. Now, some of the audios that I'd like to play for you, though, clearly say that there's something about these tattoos that define your role in society. They also tell who you are, what you do, and if you have the right tattoo historically, if you have the right tattoo, it can be powerful in terms of protecting your body from harm. And I just wonder, though, how many people are aware of that. Because what we do is we see people with tattoos of their departed loved ones, of their favorite music artists, of roses, of flowers. And so even though tattoos have this wonderful cultural heritage, I think what was lost was the why we do it and what we do, what you should do when you choose to have a tattoo. So I'm wondering how many of you out there listening do have a tattoo, and what was your reason for getting that tattoo? That's what I'd love to explore tonight with our listeners, is if you have a tattoo, why did you decide to get a tattoo, and what was your reason for it? Because your reason for it can make a difference in how protective this tattoo is on your body. That's an amazing thing that I discovered in researching this topic. There's different audios that I'm looking to play. Let's see. I want to give you just some more facts about the tattoo history. In fact, in 1961, tattooing was considered unlawful in New York City, or even the state, I think. And then in 1997, so it took some 30-some years before it was again lawful. So there is this movement that's been going on since 1997 to promote the cultural heritage of tattoos. But it's really all about your motives and why you do what you do. The history goes back all the way to the Philippines, in the islands of the Pacific Islands, in Africa, in Australia. So it's really not something new, but the fact that it's being revived and you're seeing it among so many people, I think it's telling us something. If your eyes are open and more people are bringing back this art and this craft, it really is saying something. So I'm going to take just a quick music break so I can pull up another audio that I'd like you to hear about this beautiful art that people are displaying on their body. So we're going to come right back after this music break and play another audio. Barr, beautiful violin musician, playing Awaken. This is all about Awaken tonight. The tattoos and piercings have had many of us judging and asking questions, but we are becoming more awakened in these seasons of confusion. And if you're listening online and you would like to join the conversation or have a comment or a question, call 215-383-5863. And when you're in the studio, just press 1. And I'm waiting for my guests to come in, Jesse or two other tattoo artists have been invited to join us. So if you're when you're ready to talk and give your comment, just press 1. So here's an audio from some professional artists and some of the weird stories that they've seen or heard that I want you to hear. So please listen up and just enjoy. I'm going to play it again from my phone, so we'll see what happens. These are some beautiful stories from professional. I love to hear these because as they do their work, they can't help but wonder why people come to them and what's in their thinking and thoughts about doing this wonderful art work on their body. And so I thought it was kind of funny. It would be nice to hear from some of the professionals. And we're waiting again for some professionals in the Central Florida area to join us, and then they'll give their stories. But in the meantime, YouTube is full of wonderful stories, discussions from artists who have been doing this for some time, and they love their work. And usually the artists themselves have gone through the pain. That's the one thing that I think I can't see my putting tattoo on my own body is that I'm not one to have pain inflicted on my skin. So I would love to hear from some of you out there who may have a tattoo and how you got through that. But in the meantime, let's listen to some professional tattoo artists share their stories about what they've seen. I'd love to just be in a studio for a few hours just to experience that. So I'm hoping that some of you will share your stories
as well. I've also tattooed buttholes and put flames on them. I've done all kinds of interesting things in my career.
My name is Ralph Rosa.
My name is Jason Ackerman.
My name is Rafael Marte.
And I'm a tattoo artist.
Professional tattoo artist.
I am a professional tattoo artist. I got my first tattoo at the age of 17.
When I was 18 years old.
At 18. And it was a design that I made myself when I got to the tattoo shop.
And it was a squid octopus. I picked it off the wall.
What made me want to get that first tattoo? I walked to the shop, saw it on the wall, pointed at it, and said, hey, I want it.
So the weirdest tattoo I've ever done on someone was this woman came in and she wanted a chocolate-covered strawberry, and it was dripping chocolate, and it was all over her vagina. The weird thing about that was that she brought her 18-year-old daughter. She was like 45 years old, and she brought her daughter as moral support.
I'd have to say the most awkward for me was tattooing a woman's cock. I turned it literally the entire thing from tip to ball into a snake. It was surreal.
I absolutely hate it when I'm sitting in the shop and a client walks in and they have no idea what they
want
to get.
They tell us we can do whatever we want and then we start drawing stuff up and it's never what they want. So that makes no sense to us.
Nobody ever really means do what you want. Do what they say. What they mean is do what they want as long as you can figure it out, which is next to impossible.
I need a tattoo. What do you think I should get? Oh, by the way, my flight leaves in 3 hours.
Getting a tattoo does hurt. If whoever doesn't say it doesn't hurt, they're a little weird, but, you know, everyone takes pain differently.
It's not terrible. It's not as bad as people think. It's all about your state of mind, honestly.
Everybody's different. Like, literally, like, where I think the most painful spot on the body is, which would be like ribs or lower back for me personally. I tattoo people all day that shit like it's nothing.
Of course. Yeah. Who does it? Who wouldn't?
As a professional, I'm supposed to be objective and not judge people. However, as a human, I judge everybody that walks through the door.
As artists, we have to, you know, give them what they want. We're just going to give you a good piece. We want you to walk out with a great piece. If you come in with an idea, you go into an artist that you like their style, and if you like their work, then you're going to get something really good.
I think if the tattoo is composed really well and it's a very dynamic tattoo, as an artist, I think that makes for a really great tattoo for as far as a client goes. My end goal is to have a client leave with a smile on their face. If they're happy and they love what I did, then that's perfect.
I would say before you get a tattoo, you definitely need to think about it. Look for artists that you like so that you know what style you're looking for.
At this day and age, if you get a bad tattoo, you kind of deserve it. It's because you didn't do the research.
A lot of people get, like, small tattoos to start off, to feel the pain and all that. I always say don't do that. If you want something big, get it big.
And don't be a stickler about money. We put years into our craft, and we're worth what we ask for. Good tattoos aren't cheap, and cheap tattoos aren't good. If you know somebody that can do it in their garage, by all means, go get it, but I'm going to charge you a lot to fix it.
Oh, wow, how about that? Good tattoos are not cheap, and cheap tattoos are not good. So I love these guys giving some preparation knowledge. Don't do it until you've done your research. That's what they're saying, because a lot of these guys are, a lot of people go into the idea, have the idea that they want a tattoo, but they don't do the research. Oh my goodness, this is a permanent thing that you're having done on your skin. And I'm really wondering how many people out there have regretted having the tattoo and then had to get it fixed, and how much money and how painful that had to be. Just paying the money, in fact, would be painful for me. But so that goes along with piercings. You know, I have pierced ears. I even had three holes in my ears. And so, but one of them I let closed up because I just didn't feel like I needed to wear three earrings. But these days, piercing has gone to a whole new level, and we want to understand the history of that as well, because it just shocks me sometimes to see what people do to their skin when it comes to piercings. So I'm going to pull up another audio for you, because that we really want to get to a place of non-judgment about piercings, because it's very important these days that we walk in love. That's what this whole journey that I'm on here with Soul Purpose Healing and the Female Solution. I have a show every Friday morning, Health and Wellness. It's all about walking in love and getting rid of the judgment and the hate and the anger. So everything we do these days has to, should be done in love. So that's what this show is all about, and that's where we really want to get to a place of understanding. So we're going to listen to a history of piercings, because I am, for one, I'm just longing to know the spiritual roots behind what we see in piercings and tattoos. And it's just on such a new level these days that we really want to come to love and appreciate what we see around us, and to understand what we see around us. More importantly, is to get to a place of non-judgment. Walking in wisdom, love, understanding, and compassion is all of what Soul Purpose Healing is all about. When I started this show 4 years ago, I wasn't sure whether I wanted to do it, and then it just kept coming to me that the whole purpose is to get us back into alignment with the Creator's love, compassion, wisdom, and understanding. So So here we are talking about tattoos and piercings. And many of us are ignorant, totally ignorant about these two arts. And so I think it's always a good idea to look at the history of it and understand where it started, why it started, and then bring it to forward to today and try and understand the purpose behind it and the reasons that people do what they do. And everywhere you go, I don't know about you, but even in my small town that I live in, there's tattoos and piercings every day. I see them, and I'm always just wondering why. And sometimes I have the courage to stop and ask people, what does that mean? Why did you do that? And so I'm becoming more educated. But let's just keep the knowledge flowing and learn even more from educational videos that can help us understand. So we're bringing up history of piercings on YouTube, and we want to just listen. Okay, we're going to change that one. That wasn't the one I wanted, but there is a shorter one. I'm going to help you listen to a shorter one. It's only a couple of minutes, and so I'm working with my cell phone and my studio here, but just be 1 second or a few seconds.
Throughout history, people wore piercings because of their cultural practices, their different religious systems, or the desire to perform a public image. Piercing has been around for a long time. And in fact, the oldest mummified body to be found with a piercing is said to be over 5,000 years old. The first ear piercing arose.
Just a little delay here.
Amongst primitive tribes for magical purposes, the tribes believed that metal warded off demons and bad spirits. Because of the magical property, they began to wear metallic ear piercings for constant protection. Ancient Egyptians are some of the oldest bodies found with stretched earlobes. They loved to decorate their bodies, and specific piercings were even restricted to the royal family. The navel piercing, for example, was only worn by the pharaoh, and anyone else wearing it would be executed. This culture performed their wealth and beauty with their piercings. Ancient Romans, on the other hand, were very practical, and all of their piercings were purpose. While women used the earrings to show off wealth and power, men in the army wore nipple piercings as a badge of honor, strength, and dedication to the Roman Empire. Gladiators and slaves, on the other hand, had their genitals pierced. This prevented serious injury for the gladiators because it allowed them to tie back their genitals when in combat. This piercing also prevented both slaves and gladiators from having sex without their master's approval. On the other side of the world, Native American tribes, like the Aztecs and Mayans, pierced their tongues as part of a religious bloodletting ritual. They believed this brought them closer to their gods. Native American tribes also used other piercings, like the septum piercing, to make them appear fiercer in battle. They used feathers, bone, and tusks commonly in their piercings. In Central and South America, women with pierced lips were considered more attractive. The holes in their lips often were stretched to huge sizes to emphasize the lips as much as possible. Cultures like the Aztecs and Mayans began to decorate their lip piercings with jade and gemstones, which they believed would increase their sexual appeal. Piercing died down around the Middle Ages in Europe because the church condemned it as sinful. However, during the Renaissance and Elizabethan eras, piercing picked up again. For example, sailors began to wear piercings again in case of shipwreck. The jewelry would pay for a Christian burial if they washed up on shore. Later, members of the nobility wore at least one earring. These earrings were easy ways to display the amount of power and wealth they all had.
Wow. The Christian church, again, added to controlling everything. So if you heard that, even the ancient Egyptians, ancient Romans were having their genitals pierced. Oh, my goodness. This is getting deep. So when you think about that, I guess it's pretty minor to see young people with their noses pierced, their eyebrows pierced. I just wonder if they understand the history behind it and the purpose for it. Because then, when you do things with a pure intention, when you do things with a divine purpose, there is a spiritual power and energy that can be present for protection for your body. Protection from your body being harmed, and protection for you to grow spiritually and evolve. And I imagine this is happening anyway, even if people don't understand the purpose behind it, the energy behind it, the spirit behind it. But I would just love for more people to have this knowledge so that they can be empowered to especially come against religious thinking and any Christian thoughts or religious thoughts of any manner that are telling them this is a bad thing, don't do this because it goes against scripture or the Bible or truth, or especially hearing that it's a sin. Oh my goodness, we really have to come out of that idea that it's a sin, because now we have knowledge, and this knowledge is very powerful. I, for one, am very enlightened now about piercings and tattoos. And I don't think I can ever judge another person who I see wearing these piercings or tattoos, no matter how dramatic. Some people are covering their whole body with tattoos. And I say more power to, literally more power to them, that they come into the purpose for it, the empowering and the energy, the spiritual energy behind this movement, if you will, of painting the body, covering the body with tattoos, and then piercing the body. When you think about the ancient Romans, Egyptians piercing their genitals, there's something to be said about this whole movement of piercings and tattoos. So I'm going to take a little commercial break here, and then we'll be right back with your questions and comments. If you're in the studio, if you have a question or comment, just press 1. And we'll open your mic. And if you're listening online, just call 215-383-5863. And we'll be right back. Hi, this is Beata, your holistic life coach. Every Sunday evening, I'm here on Blog Talk Radio, Soul Purpose Healing. I'm also blogging live every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Health and Wellness with Beata. You can join the conversation on Fridays at 515-605-9325 or go to www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. When I'm not doing spiritual adjustments on Blog Talk Radio, I'm helping my clients reduce stress in their lives with EFT or emotional freedom techniques, essential oils, and cost-saving health plans like Ameriplan. Ameriplan is a better way to save money on your health care expenses. You can find out more about me and how to contact me at www.yourholisticlifecoach.com. Until then, stay in joy. right. Damian Escobar. Love that music. Awaken. We are all being awakened in these days. And we have another audio.
I wanted to get one to commemorate.
That kind of has some humor in it. I want to share with you. Because some of these artists are very talented and very human. So let's listen to five tattoos that even tattoo artists refuse to do.
Yeah, I have a tattoo I regret a lot. I wanted to get one to commemorate the hottie from Harry Potter, and I ended up with this.
So if you've ever seen a really horrendous tattoo, you haven't seen the worst of it, because there's some tattoos so bad that many tattoo artists will refuse to do. Now, tattoo artists took to Ask Reddit to talk about some of the tattoos that they won't even think about inking on a body. Now, one tattoo artist said that he was asked to do SS lightning bolts. He declined, and she didn't understand why. Apparently, she didn't know what the SS were and just thought it was a cool symbol. I gave her 20 minutes on the Wikipedia page, and then she asked if we did them in blue if I would do it. I don't know why blue. Maybe that's, like, combating the whole, like, anti-Semitic thing.
No, I think it was just, like, a follow-up question. Like, oh, cool. Okay, can I get it in, like, blue ink? That would be pretty badass.
I told her still no, and she got angry with me and insisted it was my job to do tattoos that I'm asked to do. But then there was this whole long paragraph about how she, like, complained even more, and people were like, no, we can't do, like, Nazi symbols on your body.
Yeah, and look, there are a lot of tattoo artists who will do those because a lot of white supremacists love getting tattoos of that.
Although I was surprised and happily surprised on this Reddit thread that most of the responses were saying that they wouldn't do any sort of like Nazi or white supremacist insignia. So that was good. I was happy with that. The next one, this tattoo artist says, I've got rules when it comes to anything below the cuff or above the collar. They won't do it unless you have some serious coverage or financial or job security. So they were saying that
like on your hands?
Yes, so on your hands or above your neckline here, because unfortunately there is still a stigma about tattoos, and definitely stigma about tattoos on your face and your neck. So they won't do it because they're afraid that the person will really regret it, or that it will cause them some sort of financial issues down the road because maybe they won't be able to get a job. It's nice that they're thinking about people's financial security.
I don't know that they necessarily should, that that's their obligation. But, yeah, I could see why they'd worry about a person coming back or something.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Another one says, a friend of mine is a tattoo artist, and he said that someone came in totally drunk one night asking for a tattoo of a dick on his dick. So
which part did he object to? The location or the subject matter?
So I feel like, and maybe this is a dumb question. I'm just going to put it out there. If you're going to get a tattoo on your dick, first of all, I think the game changes whether or not you're circumcised or not, so where the tattoo goes. And then do you do it when you're fully stretched out? Or do you do it when it's, like, I feel like there might be misses. Erect.
I'm ready, buddy. Could you get stretched out?
Hey, this is a family show.
Oh, baby, you look so good. I'm feeling stretched out.
Okay. What are you going to say? Oh, you look so good.
Hold on, I need to
erect. Like,
I need to adjust.
Weirder.
I'm stretched out.
Okay, stop.
I've never heard that before.
So what? But like, no.
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Because if it's not stretched out, and spots when it stretches out, or if it's stretched out, then it would look like if you got like a person or something, it would look.
That's one of several objections to doing it.
I have a lot of issues.
Also, I would say it seems like, considering how important blood flow and movement of stuff in there is, it might be a bad idea to be injecting ink in the first place.
Yeah, probably. Probably not a good idea.
Yeah.
It's probably as bad of an idea as getting a tattoo on a woman's asshole. So apparently,
people do get
a
tattoos
common
there.
Thing. Yeah, I learned that through this Reddit thread. I'm just going to be really upfront with you guys. I'm going to put a disclaimer that I do not have one of these, and nor will I ever get one.
Show, don't tell. No, I don't.
Nope.
I don't know why people like that. I don't know why anyone does, but I know that it happens.
Maybe because you don't want it to be seen?
There was a girl who got famous on the internet for getting a public anal tattoo a couple of years ago.
Can I ask a question? So, if you were a girl, like, hypothetically speaking, because girls don't poop, but if girls pooped, and they got, like, an anal tattoo, obviously that's painful.
Maybe Maybe they like that pain.
Can you still go to the bat? Like, what
yeah.
can you, how many?
Maybe they like that pain. Maybe they associate pain with pleasure in that way.
Maybe. The
one
last,
out of three women do.
The last one is that any good tattoo artist will refuse a request from someone who is drunk or otherwise inebriated. And I was really happy to see this very common in the thread, because a lot of times people do get tattoos and they say they were drunk or something like that. But hopefully, if you have a respectable tattoo artist, it's like, hey, just come back tomorrow when you're sober. Because
yeah.
you don't want to make a decision that affects you for the rest of your life.
The danger is that some tattoos take a long time to do, and you might sober up as
And you're like, shit!
This is going to be so cool. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't do that.
No, thank you. But it's interesting to think about what tattoo artists won't do, because sometimes we do see bad tattoos, but it's good that even the baddest don't get that. Make the baddest the worst.
Come on, buddy, tattoo me. I'm all stretched out over here. You're wasting it.
Stop making fun of all my, like, vernacular.
I think it's funny.
All right, guys, let us know if you've ever tried to get a tattoo that an artist wouldn't ink on your skin, or if you have a tattoo that, you know, might be a little sketchy. Let us know in the comments down below. I'll see you then.
Okay, I'm sure some of you out there are shocked that I actually played that, but I think that's so real and relevant to what we do today. And if you're just joining us, the history of tattooing and piercing is so wild and crazy that they were putting piercings in the testicles of men and probably their penises as well back then, because for whatever reason, they had a purpose for doing these things. There was a purpose of what is your divine role in society? How do you define your role in society? There was an idea that you were protected from bodily harm if you had tattoos or piercings. And the piercings and tattoos in the past were meant to tell who you are, what you do, and men and even women. I'm shocked. I'm sure some of you have seen old African pictures where women had stretched out lips. And there was piercings in their lips, and they carried some type of metal or figure to bring their lips out. So all this is very culturally and heritage-wise significant. And we should no longer be shocked to see some of the things that men and women do to their bodies, because for whatever reason, there's a movement going on to bring out the tattooing craft and art and the piercing art. And although some of it looks pretty wild to me and may seem strange to others, there is a purpose. And I'm starting to see that there's a divine purpose, maybe just to test our willingness not to judge people for what they do, and just to love and have compassion and wisdom behind it. So this show is going to be a little short today, because this topic doesn't have to be stretched out all night, and my guests haven't shown up yet. So we're going to ask you, if you're in the studio, if you have any questions or comments, now's the time, press 1. And if you're listening online, now's the time to call in 215-383-5863, because the main purpose of this show was to bring knowledge to the topic of piercings and tattoos, to bring some history to the topic, and to bring us to a place of non-judgment, but simply love, compassion, wisdom, and observation of what our society is doing that is leading us away from war. I have a hashtag that I promote on social media, hashtag GAMAW, Gamma. That's what my youngest grandson, he's barely 2, and he calls me Gamma. And hashtag Gamma is grandmothers and mothers against war. So the cessation of war has to start within us. And part of that is not judging other people for what they do, but having compassion, wisdom, and understanding. And I hope after this show today that you who are listening now and who will listen in the future will have more compassion and understanding about seeing strange tattoos and piercings, because it's all historical. It's just coming around. There's nothing new under the sun. And some of us may be thinking, well, these tattoos and piercings are new and they look weird and strange. No, no. Actually, it's nothing new under the sun. This is ancient history that's coming forth once again that was actually suppressed by the church. The scriptures were misinterpreted. If you heard Joyce Meyer, she read those two scriptures that we often read, that you should not put any cuttings in your skin for the dead. It was all for the dead. So I just really appreciate having YouTube videos available and having the privilege to come forth on World Wide Web and promote truth. And so we might come back. We might, my guest, I just got a text from one of my guests. She's delayed and she won't be able to come on. So that's okay. Everything is in divine order. Tattoos are in divine order. Piercings are in divine order. This show is definitely in divine order. And so I appreciate all of you who do listen now and in the future. And please share this with people who don't understand tattoos. You can always go to YouTube and get more information, but we're just having an open discussion tonight about it and sharing some of the teachings on YouTube that may inspire you to learn more. There's a lot more that you can learn about tattoos and piercings. Hopefully this brief show has brought you to a place of just understanding, overstanding the divine order of everything on the planet. And it's just cyclical. It's cyclical. We've all seen this before. Even if you were in another life, you probably saw many tattoos and piercings in a different country. And so it's all very good. So thank you all for joining me this evening. And please share this with those who don't know about tattoos and piercings and what it represents. It actually represents our history and a cultural heritage that we have forgotten and that was suppressed by the church and religious minds. So everybody have a wonderful week, and we'll be back on. I'll be back on Friday at 8 a.m. with Health and Wellness with Viada. So more of Damien Escobar.